Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is Retirement Roadmap Radio with Mark Fricks of Master Plan Retirement Consultants. Listen in as we address your retirement concerns and provide insight to help put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, Retirement Roadmap Radio.
Hey folks, welcome back to Retirement Roadmap with Master Plan Retirement Consultants. My name is Evan Fricks, and with me as always, retirement planner Mark Fricks. Tax-deferred money, it can be a powerful tool. IRAs, 401ks, and the like offer tax-deferred growth and are only taxed upon withdrawal. But did you know that eventually you are forced to take money from certain qualified accounts? Enter the RMD.
Required minimum distribution.
We deal with RMDs quite a bit with our clients, don't we, Mark?
We do a lot because it can be a kind of a tricky area. It can be an area that you can't afford to make mistakes. So we help our clients track that and keep up with it to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So we've referenced RMDs in some previous episodes a few times, but we've never really broken down the full spectrum of what it means and the consequences and how to take them strategically. So Mark, first of all, what is an RMD?
Well, basically, the government wants your money out of your pre-tax account. Mm-hmm. So if it's an IRA, a 401k, the government wants it out because they want the tax money.
Right.
And they've given you a break all these years. It's grown and grown and grown. You know, the seed became a crop, so to speak. And so they want the money coming out. And the way they do that is they make you take it out, whether you need it or not. It used to be for years, 70 and a half mm-hmm. was the age, which I think is kind of weird. Why the half? I don't know. But then it went to 72, I believe, was next with the Secure Act 1. Secure Act 2 raised it to age 73. A lot of people don't know that yet. I've had a lot of clients come in saying, hey, I'm turning 72 this year. I got to do my RMD. I'm like, I've got good news for you. You don't, yeah. On top of things. So it is a way of getting that money out of there so that, again, taxes can be collected. And part of that Secure Act, I know this is not today's topic, but once that IRA is inherited past a spouse, mm-hmm. children, grandchildren, whatever, then it has to be taken out within 10 years. So that's an inherited IRA. And so again, they want that tax money. They want that money out of those types of accounts.
Absolutely. So the age now is currently 73. However, if you were born year 1960
or later,
your yes. RMD age is 75.
Yep. And that's me. I was born 1960. Now you know my age. I'm sorry. But I think it's very fair. Because we're living much longer than when they first came out with that rule, which was, I think, 1979, 1980, when IRAs came out. And so I think it's fair that we're living longer than we did back in 1979. It's been 30, 40 years, and so maybe 50 years. Mm-hmm. I'm not very good at math. So raising that, I think, is very fair. And so now it's 73, as we said, 75 coming up sooner or later. But again, it's to get that money out.
So we'll go through a few rules so you know what to look out for, but also some strategies maybe to think about, also some consequences to RMDs as well. Okay. First of all, it must be withdrawn by December 31st of the year you turn 73. However, that first time you take an RMD, the first distribution can be delayed until April 1st of the following year. That sounds like good news. However, you still have to take the following year's RMD as well, meaning that you have two withdrawals that are both taxed at your tax level.
Yeah, we typically don't do that unless there's a special circumstance. Maybe the one I can think of is maybe they're working when they're age 72, and so they wait maybe another extra 3 months to take it in the new tax year. Maybe their income drops when they're 73 or yeah. something like that. But usually we like to go and take it in the year that you turn 73.
And they must be taken from IRAs, which also includes SEP IRAs, SARSEPs, simple IRAs, as well as employer-sponsored retirement accounts like 401ks, 403Bs, 457Bs, also profit-sharing plans have RMDs on them.
Correct.
As well. There are no RMDs on a Roth IRA, however.
Until you pass away.
Until you pass away, then right. Those who inherit the account have to get that account empty within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's already pre-taxed, so.
Yes, it's kind of weird. Some people say, well, why do they want you to take it out of the Roth if it's they're not collecting any tax money on it? Well, I think it's because once you take it out of the Roth, whatever you put it in that earns money, you're going to pay taxes on.
Right.
You know, capital gains, interest, dividends. So unless you put it in your mattress, it becomes a taxable account now, unless you use something special. We've got a few vehicles that can shield or defer taxes, but typically it's going to generate additional taxes.
Correct.
And so that next generation that inherits that Roth does have to get it out over that 10-year period.
But I would much rather inherit a Roth than a traditional IRA, that's
Amen.
For sure. So you touched on this briefly when we started, but let me ask you, Mark, why do these exist? Why do RMDs exist?
Well, again, I think the government just wants them out of those accounts. Right, to get that tax money. I can't think of any other reason. You know, they gave us a break going in. We got a tax break when we put money into that 401k or IRA or whatever, and it grew tax deferred, which is powerful, right? But that tax, that we're just putting that tax off. And so when we think about qualified accounts that are pre-tax, I want you to think from a standpoint of what they're really worth, from a standpoint of what belongs to you, mm-hmm. right? If you've got a $100,000 IRA, it's not really worth $100,000, is it? It's worth whatever minus the tax. What's the tax? Well, it depends on when you take it out, how you take it out, how often, what the tax bracket is, you know, nationally, what your tax bracket is. And so it could have a 15% mortgage on it. It can have a 30% mortgage on it, depending on, again, the size of the account and when you take it out. So that's a lot of money coming into the government. We have 80 million baby boomers that are not only retiring, but also beginning to get older and pass away. And there's a lot of money going to be coming into the government coffers over that time period.
Yeah. Timing sounds like it's pretty good, considering yeah. our spending at the moment.
Yeah, the government really needs our money right now. That's
right.
For sure. Yeah.
So as far as how they're calculated, they're determined by dividing the balance in your account at the end of the prior calendar year by your life expectancy, which is calculated by the IRS. Mark, am I correct? It's around 3.7 in year one?
The first year is right around 3.7%. So if you have a $100,000 IRA, that's $3,700 that has to come out gross. And then it climbs every year, both because hopefully the account's growing, but more importantly, because the IRS percentage, because you're a year older, your life expectancy is 1 year less. In theory, what the government was trying to do was try to have it empty by the time you passed away. Mm. But people that invest appropriately and in a smart way are making, you know, 6, 8, 10%. And if you're only taking out 3.7 and maybe the next year 4.2 and then 4.8, really the first 10 to 15 years, you should be still growing that
yeah.
account.
Yeah, great. Now, Mark, you did allude a little bit to some of the tax implications for RMDs. So I would like to touch on that a little bit more. As Mark mentioned, they're taxed as regular income. So whatever your bracket is at the time, that is your rate of taxation plus that is included towards your income. So there is potential to be pushed into another bracket when you take your RMDs, which has got to be planned for. Most folks at this age, if they are retired or not, at this point in their lives, they're usually on a fixed budget. And that's something that can be real situation changer.
It could, and so, you know, when we look at the fact that, again, it's causing more income into the household, which means more income to report, and then on top of that, you've got a rising tax situation. You know, as we've talked about before, the 2017 tax cuts sunset or expire on December 31st of 2025. And so the brackets all go up a percentage. And the average percentage that they go up is about 22%. So if you were in the 20% bracket, now your bracket becomes maybe 24%. And so taxes going up, we're aging, that money's having to come out of these accounts. And that may just be the beginning, right? We may see more tax increases depending on who's in Congress, who's in the White House. And depending on the fact that we're $32 trillion in debt and we've got some programs in trouble. So, I mean, we could see significantly higher taxes in the future. We've seen the top bracket be as high as 90% in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe they're going to go to that again. I pray they don't go to that again. But what if the top bracket became 50, 55%? That's huge. And so it's something that's not, you know, it affects our retirement. It affects what comes in our pockets.
We've had a lot of episodes related to tax planning and tax consequences and things like that recently, and that's a good reason. I mean, historically, we are at a very low taxable point, mm-hmm. However, you've mentioned it recently in a seminar, we're taxed all over the place. Sometimes we don't even realize there are taxes on our cell phone bill.
Yeah.
You know, the $5 cup of coffee you buy, how much are you actually paying, you know. So all of this snowballs, and taxes are a very real consideration moving forward into retirement.
Yeah, we tell people when you go buy a cup of coffee, if it's $5, you really aren't spending $5. You're really spending $6.80, because that's what you had to make and then pay taxes to have the $5, you know. So it definitely is something that affects retirement, fixed income. Thankfully, Social Security is not fully taxable yet. I think that's going to change. So that can help some, but that's why we are such believers, and I know today's not a tax show, right? But that's why we're such believers in trying to funnel more money into Roths, whether it be new contributions, whether it be Roth conversions, whatever, or other tax-free type of vehicles as well that we've talked about in past shows. It just gives you the control instead of the IRS.
Yeah. And these are mandatory. There is a penalty if you miss an RMD.
25%.
That's right.
And that's over and above what the tax would have been. And so it's 25% of what you did not take correctly, whatever that tax is, times 25%. So it used to be 50%. So
right.
It's better, but you still don't want to mess it up. And we've had folks trying to do it themselves that have kind of messed it up. And we've tried to, you know, sometimes you can get an exception maybe once. Maybe, maybe not, but you want to be careful with that. And, you know, thankfully the companies send out letters, like, you know, if you're with Schwab or whatever, they'll send out a letter, they're supposed to, saying, hey, by the way, you're 73 this year, you need to think about RMDs, right? But we back that up with our system, as you know. We have people that are tracking that. We have people here that do just a great job of tracking it. And then we start getting strategic, which I'm sure we're going to get into in just a minute.
Yeah. And if you correct the error, if you miss an RMD and you correct the error within 2 years, the IRS may cut your penalty down to 10%. But also, you may be able to get the entire penalty waived if you can show withdrawal shortfall was because of reasonable error and that you're taking good faith measures to rectify
right.
it.
Right. Not just saying, hey, I'm not taking it this year.
Just decided not to. I do want to point you out to our website, masterplanretired.com. You can find a link directly to our calendar to schedule your complimentary consultation, an opportunity to discuss your own retirement, your hopes, your dreams, and also get a 10,000-foot view of where you stand today and how your retirement outlook looks. We'll stress test that a little bit, run a series of reports. That's masterplanretired.com. Again, completely complimentary. Feel free to give us a call at the office as well, 770-980-9262. The amount of Social Security is taxed, determined by your annual income.
Correct.
So RMDs, if they increase your income that year, potentially affect your Social Security taxation.
That's right. Could make your Social Security more of it taxable, up to 85%. Again, if a lot of your income is tax-free coming from a Roth or something like that, you could technically have none of your Social Security taxed. But that's very difficult to do, since most of us have been saving for years into these 401ks traditional and 403bs and things like that. So it again, like you said, it can raise the taxes of our Social Security, and it can push us into a higher bracket on top of that.
There are some common misconceptions that we hear more frequently within, it's surprising actually, RMDs are counted per spouse. So if you have a married couple, sometimes they think, well, I'll just take it from my wife's this time. No, that's actually per spouse. Your spouse's RMD does not count towards your own, and vice versa. You both have separate RMD amounts.
Right.
Mark, should there be a concern with an account growing too much and the subsequent RMDs being higher?
I wouldn't be bothered by that. So it's kind of like the client that comes to us that has a regular portfolio that's not in an IRA, and we grow it by maybe 25% 1 year, and they made $80,000, and they kind of complain a little bit, hey, I've got to pay $20,000 in taxes. I said, we made $80,000. I think we can afford $20,000 in taxes, you know. But yeah, I mean, we want to grow the account because we want enough in there that to be able to leave a legacy in most cases. Mm-hmm. You know, if I've got kids or grandkids or whatever, I don't want my RMDs to eat it totally away. I'd like to grow it beyond the RMDs, and maybe it hurts my tax bracket, but you know, I could also give my RMD to a charity or a church or something like that and not pay taxes on that RMD. So there's other things you can do to kind of avoid that. But again, if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to make sure you have something to pass on to the next generation or two, yeah, we want to grow it.
And that's a good point about the giving of your RMDs. We're going to get to more ways to plan and prepare and strategize as well later in this episode. But if you are tithed to a church, just for instance, rather than giving every Sunday, you could give a bulk, or you could even, you still could do systematic.
You could do it quarterly, you could do it monthly, you could do it once a year, whatever. I think churches and other organizations kind of like a consistent flow of money. Mm-hmm. But if you did it first, you know, the first 2 weeks of January, went ahead and gave them the 10,000 lump sum, I don't think they would turn it back.
No, I don't think so.
I think they've got a place to keep that
for a
while.
That new Family Life Center is going up.
Yeah. That's right.
Another point to consider, RMDs can be aggregated for certain accounts, meaning if you have multiple IRAs, you have each one has an RMD amount that can be added together as one big amount. You can take that all from one IRA. You could spread it between all of your IRAs, take it from certain ones. There's strategy in that as well. However, there are certain accounts that do not aggregate. 401ks do not. They're all separate. RMD is you have to take the specific amount from 401ks. Let's say you have a couple of 401ks from past employers. Those are separate. You can't combine those. Those have to be taken. 403bs, you can combine.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I like to get 401ks into IRAs. It just complicates it too much to keep them in a 401k. And there's other dangers too. This is, not, again, not a 401k show, but you have fewer investment options in a 401k. The fees are hidden, but fairly high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the company were to go bankrupt or switch to a different 401k company, there may be a blackout period that you can't touch it. So that's why we almost always will get a 401k into an IRA, and that way we can take advantage of aggregating the RMDs.
So we want to transition. Oh, actually, there's a whole nother topic that we did an episode on recently about how your heirs inherit money, specifically IRAs, and how that is handled. I would recommend you checking out that one because it's a whole nother topic worth a whole nother episode, mm-hmm. but how inherited IRAs are taxed and the rules around that. But some ways to prepare for your RMDs, Mark. First of all, if you can include it in your needed income.
Yeah, that's the first thing we look at, actually, is if you have a need of $1,000 a month or whatever, we would most likely take that from an RMD, especially if you're 73 or older, and let that satisfy your RMD, and so it's not as painful. And also, we're big believers in getting the money out of the IRA early on, since taxes, again, are a little bit lower now, and so we're maybe delaying Social Security mm-hmm. and using, you know, IRA money. Certainly would not delay it till age 73, of mm-hmm. course. But again, it can be very strategic. And if you're taking it as income, then you're satisfying it as you go along. I've had people come to me and say, yeah, I'm taking income, but I still have to take an RMD, right? And I said, no, you took out more than enough. And they were kind of thinking it was a separate issue. No, it's just got to come out one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that too as well. It's all an income plan. None of them exist in a vacuum from the other. Which is why we stress so importantly how important it is to create your own income plan and know where your money's coming from through your whole retirement. As Mark mentioned, it's a one strategy how to weigh that against Social Security. Spend down some of that IRA money early on, maybe delay Social Security, especially while taxes are generally lower and we know that they're going to go up in 2026.
And as you know, one of the first things we do with a client is, you know, part of our first couple of meetings is develop that income plan, because without income, taxes don't really matter. Yeah. Growth doesn't really matter. You've got to have that income plan in place first. Then we start looking at growth and tax-free and tax strategies and things like that. So, you know, that's a great point.
And as Mark mentioned earlier, Roth conversions are also fantastic. There's a lot of strategy involved in that as well, however.
Right. And so one other thing, too, you could think about. Now, you cannot use your RMD to convert to a Roth, okay? Mm-hmm. It's got to come out. But you could convert it into another tax deferred or tax-free type of an account. For instance, and we've had a show about this, I believe, is a specially designed life insurance policy that acts like a Roth. We let the cash value be the main driver of the account so that most of the money is going into the cash value, minimize the death benefit. So you can use those RMD dollars to put into that, and now it's growing tax-free mm-hmm. again, and it's going to come out tax-free. And by the way, you have a death benefit if something happens early, and we can attach a long-term care benefit to it as well. And so those are very popular now, and a lot of our clients are using those. Or we could put it into you know, annuities, defer taxes, municipal bonds are tax-friendly. Mm-hmm. And so there's other places you can put it The IRS may get their money coming out, but hopefully we can stem the flow of taxes after it comes out.
Yeah, that's a great point. You cannot convert RMDs, withdrawn funds, to a Roth, but you can choose where you put it. Sometimes you need the money. Sometimes you need it very liquid and available.
Sure.
But in general, it will very likely go back into another investment account, especially if it's a large sum of money. And what do those non-qualified accounts do? They spit off taxes, capital gains taxes. So you just create that cycle. And we run reports for that as well to see, okay, what happens with this money once we take it out? What is the total tax burden even after it's out of an IRA? What's the lifelong or even the next life?
And that's a pretty shocking report.
It is.
We need to share
that sometime, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. But
prior to RMD age is a good opportunity to really look seriously at Roth conversions to try to chip away at that pre-tax money.
Yeah, the less you have in that IRA and maybe convert it to a Roth, the less your RMD will be. And you also mentioned earlier, maybe you're going to bring this up next. I know we're running out of time, but the strategies of taking your RMD. So let's say that a client comes in, they're 73, and we begin looking at what accounts maybe are up. Yeah. I don't like to take RMDs in an account that may be down or maybe at least stable, like a protected growth type of account. So, you know, some clients, it's not as important, so we'll just have them all automatic. But other clients, we want to be more strategic. It depends again, on your situation, your tax bracket, things like that. So
yeah, and you, again, some it depends how you want to strategize it. You know, we have folks who are retired who have regular income coming from an annuity or a similar vehicle. If that's an IRA, then you have systematic withdrawals happening monthly or quarterly or whatever. By the end of that year, your RMDs are already satisfied because you've built them into your income.
Right. And, you know, an annuity is a great place to take an RMD from because we know it is going to be stable. Mm-hmm. The annuities we use, they grow with the market, but they don't fall with the market. So we know they're not going to be down 20% or 10% or whatever. So those are great income producers and a great way to satisfy annual RMDs.
Mark, rules have changed, I'm sure, but I have a question that maybe you have the answers for. What if a 401k has withdrawal limits? Things have changed. They've gotten a lot looser as far as how many times you can withdraw in a year for certain 401ks, but every plan is different. What if you have a withdrawal limit, you've already taken the max for the year?
Yeah, some of them...
Would that be covered by the calculation, probably?
I think many of the 401ks are built into the plan that if you are taking RMDs, it loosens up the rules. So that's one thing. But that is something you have to look at because, again, that would be a reason to get that 401k into an IRA if you can only take money out. Like, you know, the Thrift Savings Plan, which is the 401k for the federal worker, used to, you know, they could hardly ever take money out.
Originally, you had one opportunity,
I think it was
right?
Once while you were working, and then once you retire, maybe once a year or whatever. So you could really get messed up with that. So that's loosened up now as well. But again, you need to take a look at your plan rules and see what they say about how many distributions can you take. And again, maybe the RMD offsets that rule. I know it does with annuities, because a lot of annuities, you know, you can only take out 10% a year or you have a penalty. But if your RMD is greater, they actually waive that extra amount of money for a penalty.
And rollovers don't count towards RMDs. You still have to take from the 401k whatever was owed from that previous
year. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Folks, we are just wrapping up. I do want to remind you once again to check out our website, masterplanretired.com, to schedule your own complimentary consultation, as well as find other episodes, other retirement resources for your education and your own outlook. Also, check out our seminar/webinar schedule. If we're in your area and teaching, come and see us. The in-person, face-to-face classes are always more fun, more interactive.
Oh, yeah.
But if you feel like staying in your PJs, attend a webinar. Mark, any closing words for us today?
No, make sure you visit the website, bookmark it. And we are going to begin talking about a new class coming up. Typically, our workshops are like a one-time, one-hour workshop about a specific subject. We're in the process of putting together a two-night class, 2 hours each night, that's going to cover really the entire holistic approach to retirement planning. Actually has homework. I'll even give you a grade if you'd like, you know, if that works out. But we're looking at maybe two Tuesday nights in a row at some educational facility and may even do that around Metro Atlanta as well, and hopefully be able to do it maybe even online as well. But anyway, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, masterplanretired.com. And remember, plan well and prosper. Take care.
This was Retirement Roadmap Radio with Mark Fricks of Master Plan Retirement Consultants. To schedule a complimentary consultation, go to masterplanretire.com or call 770-980-9262. Thanks for listening, and remember, plan well and prosper.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Master Plan Retirement Consultancy, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Mark Fricks and Master Plan Retirement Consultants are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.